This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervy, and I'm the managing partner of the amazing law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today, as usual, on this sweltering day, I am here to be the managing partner of your life with Carrie Kasem, who is also here to manage your life.
Here I am.
Carrie, you need someone to manage your life.
I do.
You know, I know that you recently broke up with Jesse.
I did.
So you're available?
I'm available. I am single
She's
and ready
so
to mingle.
Hot.
Not really.
Why don't you guys Google Carrie Kasem? I don't know if they can still do that, or is that like illegal political content that you can't
know.
Even Google Carrie Kasem?
I think you can try and get me a date. I think that sounds good.
And do images so you can see Carrie Kasem through the years.
Yeah, no.
There's some real hot pictures.
I'm good.
800-222-5222. 800-222-5222 if you want to date Carrie Kasem.
There
she's
we go.
Available.
Yeah, there we go.
And she's charming and she's fun. And she's hot and she's intelligent. It's the package, guys.
You should be my manager. Look at that.
I don't have time. I'm managing everyone else's life. So you haven't been able to promote yourself as well. So I have to promote you.
There we go.
On the air.
That's right.
Because what we're dealing with in the social media, especially in Facebook, and we're going to talk about that today in the show, but you can't boost posts anymore.
It's terrible. I have 130,000 followers from every, you know, I've been on the air 21 years, right? I've accumulated a lot of people who follow me.
Yeah, I remember, Carrie, a long time ago, 20 years ago, all of those Facebook followers you had.
Yeah, no, but this is from accumulating. Literally, when I've been on, I don't know how long I've been on Facebook, but from people who've listened to me before social media was on.
Yeah.
I have people that have been following me for a very long time.
Right.
And so when I put a post up, it doesn't go anywhere.
I mean, it doesn't go
anywhere. So I have to pay for it to go to, just a portion of the people who follow me. And now half of them say it's an illegal post without.
They're all being rejected.
But it's not even, it's okay. So all I have to do is change the wording and it's okay. So I did an interview about Stan Lee, the guy who created a lot of the Marvel comics and the elder abuse that's happening. And I did it with the Associated Press. I put that up and I said, here's my interview with the Associated Press. This is illegal. This states facts that aren't true. And I said, I wrote them back, said nothing of what your algorithm is doing is right. I reposted saying, here's my interview about Stan Lee. I didn't use Associated Press. I didn't put any hashtags and they accepted it.
Really?
Yeah. But it's just ridiculous. Nobody can see anything I'm doing anymore.
Nothing.
So
nothing.
I've
and no one's listening to the show anymore because we used to post our Gervy's Law, boost them. And we can't do that anymore because this is political content. Although we,
it's a law show.
It's a law show. Well, there is some political content,
some.
But, we're certainly not advertising for one side or another. One of the wonderful things about Gervy's Law is I don't think we're on one side or the other. We've had some really bleeding heart liberals. We've had some really staunch conservatives. Who cares? We have whoever on the show. And I'm so shallow. I don't even have any opinions. I just go with the flow.
That's not so good for a radio host.
Yeah. I could care less when I'm talking to a real liberal. I just egg them on and get right into it and say, oh, it's so horrible. Those people, they're separating from their kids. And oh my, I just got to donate to it on Facebook. Oh no, I can't because I don't see those ads anymore.
Isn't that horrible?
Can't boost them. That's a political ad. Or if I'm talking to a conservative person, I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, right. Trump is the man. He, that guy's brilliant. He is just such a great guy.
Yeah, that's
guy.
Horrible. You're not supposed to have those kind of opinions when you're a talk radio host. You're supposed to, we are one opinion and go with it.
Well, you know what? It's interesting you say that because is there such a thing as journalism anymore? Because when I grew up, many moons ago, not that many actually, but when I was in school, I thought that a journalist was this, you know, it was someone who was very objective, who had done all the research, and there was no fake news or fake facts. And even as an attorney, when I go and argue in court, I'm always thinking that there are facts and I want to present the facts. I don't look for fake facts. I'm not thinking one way or the other. Yes, I'm advocating on the part of my client, but certainly if the facts are against me, I'm going to try and deal with them, work with them, because if you don't work with them, you're really going to get screwed. You're going to, you know, have to go to your client and say, oh, we lost. And you could lose big if you don't understand why you're going to lose. So I think there still should be some objectivity. But unfortunately, what we're dealing with in today's world right now is all of this journalistic political crap that, you know, whether it's CNN or Fox. And if you watch both of them, it's like you're watching two different factual situations.
Very true.
And we are going to talk today to David Chavern, who is the president and CEO of News Media Alliance. This is an organization which is the leading voice of the news media industry in this country. They represent some 2,000 newspaper companies, including companies like New York Times and News Corp. And David has been outspoken on this new policy about Facebook rejecting any of the quote-unquote ads as containing political content. After David, we're going to bring on Jonathan Cantor. Jonathan Cantor is a partner at Paul Weiss, which is a law firm, a large law firm, and he is a leading antitrust lawyer. He's been recognized as one of the nation's go-to antitrust lawyers for internet companies and for tech companies. He knows all about this stuff. He probably will be able to give both sides of the coin because, of course, we're dealing with all of this because of Russia, apparently. They bought all the ads, apparently. Again, I'm such a lawyer, I'm always saying apparently or ostensibly or, you know, purportedly. All of those Lee words I put in there because I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't get the money on the ads from Russia. But this is why we're dealing with this, because if they created fake news, and who knows whether it's fake or not, I guess some people say it was, and some people say it wasn't. But if they did, through their organized efforts to elect Trump in 2016, then, of course, people want something done about that. But what about freedom of speech? What about someone who buys an ad on Facebook and wants to say whatever they want to say? And the dumb people of this country, which most of us are, either believe or we don't. I mean, I'm of one mind to say, put everything out there and, you know, let me figure it out.
You know, I have such an issue with that. I don't understand what they're doing over at Facebook. I don't get it. I don't. It's like, hold on a second. Why can't I buy an ad saying what I want to say? It's not racist. Maybe, you know, if it is political, red or, you know, or blue, it doesn't matter. As long as it's not offensive or they say
or illegal.
Or illegal.
I mean, this is a law show, Carrie. And if something isn't illegal, then why can't you just say it?
It doesn't make any sense. I'm really, are they punishing us? Is Facebook, you know, do they hate their public so much that
they hate Gervie's Law. They hate Gervie's Law. And I'm going to tell, when David comes on, I'm going to tell the story of boosting this week's.
Oh, this is funny.
That is funny. I mean, you know, it's unbelievable. Yeah. I wonder if those algorithms at Facebook really know what's going on. Because I'll give you a hint, all of you people. And we're getting, you know, the calls are lighting up right now, 800-222-5222. I think it's not about this Facebook. I think they just want to date you, Carrie.
No.
But the point is
I see it.
That
no.
Our ad, and I'm calling it an ad, was actually boosted successfully this week when we slammed Facebook for its policy, where I said, no one is reading this. And they accepted. I didn't get rejected on the boost.
So funny.
Versus a boost that we put on an ad that basically says, why listen to Gervie's Law Saturday at 2 p.m. We're going to talk law and we're going to be here and we're going to have fun.
And then
Rejected, political. You're being so political. Having fun? That's democratic policy. Actually, it probably isn't, but I don't know what it is. But apparently it's political. It's political speech.
It's ridiculous.
That's what we're talking about.
That is the problem. I think it's just the words or buzzwords. it sees them, the computer sees them, it recognizes them as something maybe illegal, and that's it. They don't really, nobody's looking. It's too much to look at. There's too many people buying.
But I think what about losing freedom of speech?
Hundreds of millions of dollars. They must be.
Well, we'll see. We're going to ask David. We'll ask Jonathan. We'll talk about this because there's so much to get into and there's so much that we don't know because we can't know what's going on. And especially now because I look at my Facebook feed and there's no more sponsored ads because they're all political speech. I can't even learn how to get rid of the rash that my kid has anymore because that's political.
No, you just
it's red. It's a red state.
WebMD.
All right. Well, we're going to have David Chavern join us after the break. He is president and CEO of News Media Alliance, and maybe he can shine some light on whether this is, restriction of our freedom of speech, whether it's a business policy, and what did Russia do to us? Did it close our society? We'll find out after this. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
RTC. When your drains are clogged, your sink's backed up, your toilet's on the fritz. And when you need a plumber now, just simply call Ritz. We're master plumbers, we're really nice. We're big on service, not on price.
Call Ritz Plumbing at 888-757-RITZ. They're no rooter guys here, only full-service professional plumbers. You got a kitchen or bath problem? Need an earthquake valve installed? How about a tankless water heater? Well, Ritz Plumbing specializes in trenchless sewer repair, drain cleaning and maintenance, and yes, even rooter service, plus 18-month interest-free financing is possible. So call Ritz Plumbing, 888-757-RITZ. Ritz Plumbing, they're the real thing, only full-service professional plumbers, and here comes the clean pipe chorus. Hit it, guys.
So when you need some plumbing in California, yay, simply call Ritz. Don't flush your money away. Ritz.
Ritz Plumbing, 888-757-RITZ.
Hold everything for less. The Pack Store Save event is going on now at the Home Depot, and the shelves are full of smart storage solutions. Start with durable 27-gallon storage totes for just $9.48 each. They're made of heavy-duty resin to hold up to 400 pounds. At that price, you should get a few extra, just to hold the money you'll save. Come get organized at the Pack Store Save event going on now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through August 22nd, U.S. only.
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to GEICO. I feel like a whole new person.
Disclaimer, you will not become a whole new person. This is impossible. You might be able to join a gym or diet program, buy a new wardrobe, get hair implants, but your DNA and physical form will remain the same. GEICO waives any and all liability if you attempt to become a new person, except a cyborg. If you choose to become a half-human, half-cybernetic organism with lasers for eyes, the GEICO legal team would be cool with that, because, quote, laser eyes are pretty sweet. Pew, 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 end quote.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, we're back. I guess this music passed. It wasn't rejected. We can put it on the radio. It's not political speech. Is this political speech?
We're going to get a cease and desist. Can't use the music anymore.
Well, especially some of the artists. They all have political messages. We need to stop them from being on the
everyone.
Air.
Everyone.
No one can speak anymore. But maybe that's what journalism did to itself. I don't know. We want to bring on the show David Chavern, who is president and CEO of News Media Alliance. And News Media Alliance is the leading voice for the news media industry, especially when we talk about social media and the internet. And they represent some 2,000 newspapers all over, including New York Times and News Corp and a lot of other large media outlets. David Chavern, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Great. Thank you. Happy to do it.
Well, I'm happy that you're here because you need to shed some light on what's going on here. We are mad. The two of us, Carrie Kasem and I, we have been boosting posts, for many, many years, uplifting them if you want to talk about it. And now we can't do it. We have no reach. I've heard that from a lot of people. We aren't the big wigs like, the folks that you represent. But how can Facebook be doing this? You wrote an incredible article called Facebook Needs to Learn learned the difference between journalism, political advertising, and garbage. Tell us about it.
Well, in the last election, they got hit with a lot of complaints about, you know, the famous phrase fake news. And just take one of the most famous examples, which is Pope endorses Trump. Everybody knows about that. That was actually written by Macedonian teenagers, posted on Facebook, and then they paid. They wrote it as a news piece from whatever they call their news source, and then they paid Facebook to uplift it. Okay? So Facebook made money from uplifting Pope endorses Trump, and they legitimately got a lot of criticism for that. So their answer is to put everything in the bin of, oh, it's suspicious, uplifted political content, including stuff from, you know, established news sources and folks like yourselves. And it is, you know, I don't want to call it an overreaction because they needed to react, but it is a clunky, clumsy thing that really ends up actually helping other fake news purveyors, because if you're not uplifting, somebody else is, and that could well be garbage.
They must be losing hundreds of millions of dollars, and it seems like they don't care.
Yeah, right, and screwing up the relationship with folks like yourselves,
right,
and advertisers, right? You're like, this is tiresome. I just can't fight these people all the time. And our answer back is, listen, it's not that hard. You can figure out who's real and who's not, who actually hires reporters and pays them, who actually, you know, has a place where you can call. Macedonian teenagers, by the way, have none of these attributes.
No, I wouldn't think so.
You can figure out pretty easily who is actually real or not. And then don't put real people in this bin, right? Yeah. And so for my members who are all folks who hire and support journalists, there's a second danger that you call journalism advertising. Political advertising. And that really just plays into a whole range of anti-journalism narratives around the world.
I'm just wondering if you think this is just kind of like what they're doing now until they figure it out. Maybe they're just saying, okay, everybody's going to get, you know, stopped, censored. You can't post, you can't boost, you can't, until they really figure out how they can create an algorithm that works correctly. Do you think that could be possible, that it might ease up in the next 6 months to a year?
Well, it's certainly possible. I mean, they have to get better than what they are right now, which is, awful. I mean, they if you saw, there was a post about the Declaration of Independence that they blocked the other
right.
day on the 4th of July.
Wow.
So they have to get better than that. But, one of their other challenges is they always have to do everything by machine, right? You could actually hire somebody and to help decide whether something's coming from a real source or not. It could actually use human judgment. But instead, it all has to be by machine. And actually, for as smart as we think machines are, actually they're pretty stupid a lot of the times.
You know, it's interesting because I teased this before the break, and we've been putting posts on Facebook for a long time. And for the last, I don't know, David, how long has it been that we've been rejected? Probably the last 2 to 3 months, would you say, when this new policy was implemented?
Yeah, there were two things. About 2 months ago, they changed how you're prioritized. So they started, you saw a lot of people's Facebook traffic drop dramatically
right.
in a short period of time. And then this whole thing about blocking quote unquote political ads is within the last 2 weeks, actually.
Yeah. So that's what happened. And we've been rejected over and over, and the reach has been very limited compared to what was before. And then this week, and this is funny, David, I got to tell you, we posted the following. Have you seen fewer sponsored ads on your Facebook feed? It's probably likely that you're not even seeing this post, even though you used to see so many posts from Gervie's Law. There's a good reason for this. Facebook's new advertisement policy does not distinguish between journalism, entertainment promotion, and political content. Everything you post on Facebook now seems to violate its political content limitations. Thank you, Russia. Guess what? That post was boosted. It was uplifted. They did not reject that post.
I love it.
How is that possible?
I mean, it's sort of these mysteries, you know. But if you'd been a landscaper and used the word bush, and that gets blocked.
It doesn't make sense. We said so thank you, Russia, on it, and it gets it.
Thank you, Russia, and you're boosted.
And in the past, we have something with, you know, George Mason University professor, you know, whoever is on the show. No, I'm sorry. Because it's a professor, it's not uplifted or boosted.
But they told me, this is what, last week I did an interview with Associated Press on Stan Lee, and I just said, hey, here's my interview with Associated Press on Stan Lee regarding elder abuse, and then I put a couple of hashtags, totally rejected, said it was illegal. I then took down everything I said and said, here's my interview on Stan Lee, and they accepted it. So what, there's got to be buzzwords, there's got to be something like Associated Press that they don't want to allow a boost on. So it's maybe just the wording. So if you want to stick a video up there, just be careful how you word it, I guess.
Or they could just figure out that you guys have a radio show in which you're dealing with issues of the day, and you're actual real people and not Macedonian teenagers, and they don't subject you to this. Right?
That's giving them too much credit. Now, you know, interesting though, David, and I'm sure you know this, is that they do give you an option, and I don't know if your companies that you work with have actually proceeded with it, where you can almost apply to be given the right to do this. And I it's a pretty complicated process. I know you have to, you know, take pictures of your ID and this and that. And I think you have to give your firstborn child as well, when you, submit your application. What's that all about? And should companies be doing that to try and avoid this problem?
Well, that is their way of trying to get at verifying who people are. But if you're my members, for example, you know, journalists who really don't want their post called political advertising at all. I mean, you could register and then they'll allow it through, and then it goes into an archive that says paid for by. And it says, and it's in an advertising archive. And frankly, if you're a journalist writing about any issue of the day, or you're a columnist in the LA Times, you don't really think what you're doing is advertising. You think what you're doing is talking about issues and talking to your audience. And so they, I mean, reject this whole system of calling what they're doing advertising. I do think this registration process is slowly Facebook's attempt at unblocking some of these things, but it's clumsy and it takes a long time, and you have to do a lot of registration to get through it.
Are they collecting information and then they're going to sell it to the now defunct Cambridge Analytica, or like, should we trust Facebook? That's the first question. And then here's the tough question, David, because I'm listening to what you're talking about, and I know you represent a lot of the major companies. And do you think that some of them have done it to themselves? Because there are people who are listening right now and saying, well, maybe CNN or maybe Fox really are political outlets, even though they're masquerading as journalists.
I mean, there are always complaints about bias. And I do think that currently cable news sometimes has gone to different places than, for example, the newspaper industry is gone, or online, but the public always complains about bias. I do think what both cable news and newspapers and everybody else has to be much clearer with is being clear about what's opinion and what's news reporting. I do think that there are a number of journalist identities that aren't clear enough about that. And understand, in the current world online, we put a lot of responsibility on users to understand what they're reading and where it's coming from. I always say that, you know, there's always been crazy conspiracy theories, but they were delivered by your Uncle Joe over the dining room table.
Right.
And that was different than what was on TV and what the newspaper landed in the driveway. Right now, in the internet blender, people get all that stuff exactly the same way, in exactly the same format. And there's a lot of pressure now or emphasis on the need for the public to pay attention to what's opinion and what's fact journalism. And I think a number of publishers and broadcasters have to do a better job of labeling stuff.
Now, you wrote a letter requesting or proposing, actually, a white list of mainstream news organizations that should be exempt from this system. And what do you think that will do? I know that Campbell Brown apparently or allegedly, again, you know, who knows what's out there or not, but you may have more information, said that he would tease the head of the news partnerships over at Facebook and said that they would take heart in your suggestions. Do you think anything will come of it, and do you think that's really the fair way to do it?
Well, I hope so. I think I start with who's really in the journalism and media business, who's actually, pays reporters, you know where they are, you know where to send your complaints. That doesn't mean that people don't have complaints or they don't allege bias or other things, but actually, let's start by saying who's actually real and not a Macedonian teenager. And when you do that, there's really no need to label their journalism as advertising. You know, the New York Times, people may love it or they may hate it, but it's not advertising what they're doing.
Right.
And I don't see anything wrong about Facebook acknowledging that and focusing on the real problems.
Do you think they will take steps toward that? Because it does make sense, as much as it's not going to help the little people like Carrie and I, but certainly with the news organizations, it's interesting. Recently in California, there was a Supreme Court case called Dynamics case that came out a few weeks ago, and it defined what an employee was versus an independent contractor. And what they said was that if someone is in the business of doing activities that are part of that business, then they will be considered an employee versus an independent contractor. And that sounds similar to what you're talking about, which is verifiable.
Yeah, and again, it's not that hard a thing. People say, wow, there's a lot of news organizations, but there's several thousand across the U.S., right? And you could do all the radio shows, and in figuring out who's actually legitimately in this business, and that what you do when you do commentary, and you put it on Facebook and you boost it because you want more people to see it. I don't think you think what you're doing is advertising,
no.
Like the content of it, right? You don't perceive when you're commenting on, for example, that court case. You're not thinking, I'm writing advertising when you're doing this. And it's
absolutely
wrong to call it advertising.
Absolutely. I mean, you're advertising your show, but not the content necessarily. You just want people to listen, or you want people to read what you've written, or, pay attention. But it's certainly, you know, not trying to put ideas into people's heads that may be fake or there's a slippery slope here, because people could argue, well, if you get people to listen, and you could be nutcases, espousing crazy stuff.
There's always going to be edge cases, but I think at the end of the day, when you write a piece about, say, again, employment law, you're not doing it to manipulate people for money. You have an opinion, and you want more people to see that opinion. And again, it's just wrong to call it advertising. I think that the number of edge cases, if you will, is, they can deal with that. And by the way, be inclusive. If somebody has a genuine opinion, even if you disagree with it, that's one thing.
Yeah.
If it's Macedonian teenagers or other people just making up Pope endorses Trump in order to either get money from advertising or falsely manipulate an election, I think they can figure that out too. Now, they make billions of decisions a day through their systems. This isn't the hardest problem, and they don't need to answer it by blocking your stuff. I just think that's you know, it's clearly a wrong approach.
Yeah, and when you talk about freedom of speech, you got to wonder about that, especially for journalism. I'm sure you would agree that it's the cornerstone of this country's information and knowledge, and for it to go south is not going to help at all for the future. David Chavarin, I want to thank you for being here, and I wish you luck in this endeavor and all the other endeavors for the News Media Alliance. I think they are certainly someone that is doing valuable work, at least for the dissemination of information in this country that I'm sure you would agree is not fake news, or at least mostly not fake news.
Right.
Exactly. Great. Excellent. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we will return. After the break, we're going to talk to Jonathan Cantor, attorney with Paul Weiss. You're listening to Gervais Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. The Southland's first heat wave of the summer is now in its third day, and Los Angeles DWP reports over 34,500 are without power due to demand that is stressing the utilities network. In Westlake, about 5,800 customers are without power. In Koreatown, the number is 4,400, and in Beverly Grove, the number is 2,000. The youth soccer coach trapped in a partially flooded cave in northern Thailand with 12 members of his team has apologized to their parents in the first letter they've sent out through divers, with the boys saying they're doing well and missing their families. The local governor in charge of the mission to rescue them says cooperating weather and falling water levels over the last few days had created appropriate conditions for evacuation, but that they won't last long if it rains again. KABC SoCal weather, partly cloudy this afternoon with highs from the 80s at the beaches to between 92 and 102 inland. A red flag warning is in effect until 6. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790 KABC News.
Hi, this is Lou Manfredini. My House Smarts Minute is sponsored by CLR, Calcium Lime and Rust Remover. Get your day back with powerful, efficient cleaners. Your home's strongest line of defense is a Class A roof. Most fire-resistant Class A roofs are made of aluminum, steel, concrete, clay, or slate. Such a roof is especially protective in a foliage-borne fire that rains hot embers. Treated wood shakes look good, but provide the least protection in a raging fire that falls from above. More information at HouseSmartsTV.com. And now this. Which two rooms in your house get the most use? If you said the kitchen and the bathroom, you're not alone. And keeping these rooms clean is a never-ending job. CLR Bath and Kitchen makes it easy. Its fast-acting spray makes everything sparkle and gleam, from faucets and shower doors to porcelain and stainless steel, without phosphates, ammonia, or bleach. It even carries the EPA's Safer Choice seal. Trust CLR Bath and Kitchen, making the world a little cleaner.
Hold everything for less. The Pack Store Save event is going on now at the Home Depot, and the shelves are full of smart moving solutions. Like moving boxes from as little as 69 cents, bubble wrap, moving blankets, packing tape, all in one place. Moving is stressful enough. Getting what you need in one trip shouldn't be. Make your first move to the Pack Store Save event going on now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through August 22nd, U.S. only.
Welcome back to Ask the Doc from the Rug Doctor Institute of Clean. Next caller.
Hi, Doc. I just got an estimate from a carpet cleaning service, and apparently it includes cleaning out my wallet.
Their $99 special turned into $299.
Exactly.
That's bad math, but I have good news. Rent a Rug Doctor today at your local supermarket and deep clean your home for a fraction of what it costs to hire the pros, starting at $29.99 a day.
Thanks, Doc.
Rug Doctor today for a cleaner tomorrow.
You're listening to Gervais Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah. We are surviving here, this heat and the loud music. It's survival. Everywhere.
Everywhere. Even my cat.
Even your cat.
My cat ran out today. My younger cat, not the older one, ran out of the house today. Wouldn't come in, so I shut the door. 10 minutes later, I called him, came running in, and then spread himself out flat on the kitchen floor to cool himself down.
Yeah, well, I hope he's okay.
He's so hot.
You're so hot.
Well, I'll tell you something. I am hot. I'm in very comfy clothes, but please, here's a PSA from everybody, for everybody. Keep your animals indoors. Please, please, please. It's too hot. Or at least have a big pool for them to jump into.
You know, there's so many people who have called. The board has been lit up. And I thought it was because they were so concerned about the Facebook advertising.
No, it's what you've done.
It's for all dates. They all want to date Carrie Kasem because I said she was hot. And you were just referring to you know, you're sweating a little bit. We like say schwitzing a little bit.
Yes, we're schwitzing.
But you actually, people want to date you.
Well, you know, that's okay. I'm not, thank you so much for the calls. I really appreciate it. But
can we post something and then try and boost it and see if they'll boost that? Because they won't boost anything else we put on that platform.
Like get a date with Carrie.
Yeah, and see if that gets
on
boosted.
On Kirby's Law.
I mean, after all, they didn't reject our Facebook ad, but they rejected everything else in the last 2 months. And now maybe we can find out if this is legal. What's the deal with Facebook and other platforms in social media, whether they can do all this stuff to the poor, poor public who just becomes the ability for others to manipulate their minds just is too easy. And are there laws out there that can prevent this manipulation? I happen to think that maybe, you know what, let's caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. Whatever is out there is out there. If they're not breaking the law, let them do it. But let's find out from a professional, an expert. Law 360, something that I read every morning. It recognized Jonathan Cantor to be one of the go-to antitrust lawyers for internet and tech companies. He's at Paul Weiss, and he's a partner in the antitrust group. He's got extensive experience representing clients in the media, technology, and advertising arenas. Jonathan Cantor, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Great. Thanks for having me, and it's great to be with you.
So you're not calling just for a date here. You can actually give us some insight what's going on these platforms. Now, we just spoke with David Chavern, who is the president and CEO of News Media Alliance, and he has some definite opinions. In fact, he wrote a letter to Facebook saying this is ridiculous. Why can't you differentiate between journalism, political advertising, and he called it another garbage? Now, tell us, what is it from a legal perspective, because we look at everything and we saw Zuckerberg testify in front of Congress. He apparently is not breaking laws. So why is there such an uproar when Facebook pursues this policy of trying to prevent fake news?
Sure. Well, I'll speak generally about a lot of the technology and social media platforms. And there's this perception that there are laws and rules or regulations to protect consumers and other businesses from certain types of conduct. But the reality is there aren't very many laws with respect to technology. And in fact, whatever laws exist that are designed to protect people in terms of things like political ads and activity that happens on a platform, the laws of technologies are exempt from those laws and have very few specific restrictions on how they can behave.
But when we look at what we call the traditional media, when we're talking about historically newspapers, television, radio, we've always been under the impression that there's so many regulations and, you know, I can't right now say a word that I'm not supposed to say. I'm not on cable. I'm on terrestrial radio. Why isn't it the case when so many people are following other platforms in the internet age? Why hasn't there been this kind of regulation? And when we talk about antitrust laws, historically, we've seen, you know, Standard Oil, AT&T, all of these companies having such a huge percentage of the market and then having regulations and laws passing to open up the market. That hasn't been the case with the likes of Facebook, Google, and Amazon.
That's exactly right. It hasn't been the case. And it's not easy to understand why. I'm calling you from Washington, D.C., which, by the way, it's very hot. And for the record, I am schwitzing here.
Okay. Stay cool.
Yeah, we'll try. But, you know, I think it comes from two things. First, you know, for a long time, the internet was new and it was exciting. And there was a desire from folks here in Washington not to get in the way and impede innovation. And there was such a concern about stepping in and overreaching and harming innovation that when push came to shove, Washington decided to do nothing. The other thing that's happened is, for better or for worse, probably the latter, there are a lot of folks in Washington who really don't understand the technology, and they're afraid to intervene and touch something they don't understand. And so for the most part, the whole segment has been given a free pass. And but now there are consequences, and I think if people are starting to realize those consequences, and there's this assumption among the general public that there are rules, there are laws. And you're right. When you're a newspaper or radio and you do things that are wrong, you're held accountable. You're held accountable by your readers or your listeners because they can go elsewhere because there's a lot of choice. You're held accountable under the law if you say things that are inaccurate or slanderous. Technology platforms don't necessarily have those restrictions. They are exempt from a lot of those laws for what takes place on their platform. When it comes to something called Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, it specifically exempts them from a lot of the liability that you will have to deal with. They don't have a regulator like the FCC, and they are big companies. And so the consequences of getting it wrong or creating the kinds of problems that they have aren't that significant because there's not a lot of choice when it comes to things like a search engine or a social network.
Well, at least there isn't now. But when we read about the investigations that go on, the Justice Department, FBI, SEC, FTC, into certain things that may have happened in the past with Facebook, perhaps disclosing personal information, the Cambridge Analytica debacle, controversy, the sharing of personal information of 71 million Americans, creating voter profiles, all of this stuff, is it really illegal? And if it is, why wouldn't there have been such a lot more direction in the past legally from these platforms versus this kind of attitude like, hey, we're out there, we're doing what we want, we're not regulated so much that we can, you know, it's like I said, buyer beware. You know, you choose to use Facebook. You don't have to have a Facebook profile.
Sure. So those investigations exist. I don't want to, you know, comment one way or the other in terms of how they'll come out or how they should come out. But I can observe that they are, you know, very narrow. They're related to specific incidents, like perhaps the leakage of information, or in the case of the FTC, the violation of the consent decree, or in the case of the SEC, you know, what should or shouldn't have been disclosed. But you know, where a lot of the discussion here is Washington is, you know, do we need some broader, albeit light touch or heavy touch, rules and laws and regulations that, you know, perhaps don't stop these companies from innovating and doing good things, but provide some rules of the road so that they're held accountable in a more systematic way? And yes, people can switch, buyer beware, but, you know, think about, you know, using your search engine. There's not a lot of choice out there right now. Think about a lot of these products. They tend to toward being monopolies or near monopolies. And if you compare that, for example, to a radio station or a newspaper where there's a lot of choice and there's a lot of differentiation and consumers can tell the difference. And so, you know, many people argue that the problem isn't simply one of privacy or data protection, which there are legitimate issues that need to be discussed, but it's also a problem of you know, very big companies with a lot of power who have the ability to do a lot of damage when they make mistakes.
Wait, go ahead, Kate.
I asked this with our other guests, and I just want to know, do you think Facebook is punishing, you know, the users by doing this? It seems like they're losing hundreds of millions of dollars. They've got to be, by not allowing Boost and by not allowing this. Do you think that Facebook, by doing this and not allowing certain content, is punishing their users?
I don't know. The way I think about it is when I was a kid and we had something go wrong with our faucet, we had the option of calling my plumber, but my dad was stubborn and cheap, and so he'd take masking tape and duct tape and his toolkit and try to fix it, and then we'd live with a broken faucet for a week and a half until we all got angry enough to call my dad and tell him to hire a professional.
Right.
I think people are living with a lot of leaky faucets now, and everyone's, you know, folks are trying to patch it up and do what they can. But, you know, part of the problem is these platforms were built, and there were a lot of great innovations that came along with them, but they weren't necessarily built to handle these kinds of problems. And if you try to retrofit, you know, for example, you know, try to create an algorithm on the fly that can understand political speech or things like that, it's very difficult. And you can see the consequences of that. The news industry, by comparison, understands that, right? You know, you've had, that's why you have editors, and that's why you site check and source check, and there's, you know, a human component. And so it's not easy stuff to do. But like I was saying before, there are, you know, meaningful consequences when you don't do it right.
Well, you talk about consequences, and you alluded to this earlier, that there isn't a lot of understanding, perhaps, in Washington. Now, you're in Washington. Why is there such a gap in this enforcement, the oversight in Washington, when you're talking about the tech platforms versus everything else that is so regulated? And being an antitrust lawyer, you know, you're familiar with so many different other industries that are not regulated to the degree that are regulated versus aren't with the tech platforms.
Yep. I'll give you some hypotheses. One is people just don't understand it, like I was saying before. Another is there's been a, you know, tendency in Washington toward deregulation. And when new industries come along, there's a hesitancy to impose rigorous and perhaps burdensome regulations or laws. And, you know, others in here in town will say that there's just a lot of old fashioned money that's flying around, that's used to keep, certain sectors of the economy, you know, more exempt than others. You know, I'll leave it to you and your listeners to judge as to what's really the root cause. But the end result is that there really aren't a lot of rules and there really aren't a lot of regulations, and there really isn't a lot of enforcement. So, you know, we have what we have, and some people might think that's a good thing, some people might not.
But don't you think that it can't continue this way? And an attorney like yourself, aren't you gearing up for a lot of litigation moving forward once there are more regulations and when the antitrust laws are really going to be questioned and put into place for the tech platforms?
Yeah, I personally do not think that the status quo is sustainable. Something's going to have to give. These companies are getting too big. Their impact is too great. And, you know, as a society, we have choices. We have choices about whether to implement sensible laws and enforce existing laws in a sensible way, or we have the choice to do nothing and let things get worse, reach such a bad point that perhaps those laws and regulations overreach, enforcement overreach, which tends to happen when there's a real tragedy.
Yeah.
And so, or crisis. And, you know, I've long been an advocate for, you know, a sensible approach, before we hit that fever pitch and before we hit that crisis point. You know, we'll see what Washington decides to do. But, like I said, I don't think we can sustain what we have now because our economy has changed. The way in which information is gathered, collected, and used has changed. And we have to adjust. And we need people in Washington to understand how to do it. They understand how the technologies work and how to figure out the right, you know, balance of oversight and relative to do nothing.
You know, that makes a lot of sense from an intellectual perspective. From a practical perspective, I don't know if this country is in a position, and I want to ask you after break, we have to take a quick break, but I want to ask you about whether this is really a partisan issue, whether we're talking politics here, because it seems like in this country now, everything, whether it's the news media from CNN to Fox, or whether it's Republicans versus Democrats, everything seems to come down to politics. So we're going to talk about that after the break. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to Gervais Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Hi, Tom Baudette. There's a saying, if you love something, set it free. Well, Motel 6 must really love Wi-Fi, because we just set it free. You're free, little Wi-Fi. Fly, fly like a bird into the ether. Net. Of course, Motel 6 can't really set it free. We just made it free at all of our more than 1,400 locations. But that's semantics. Something else we don't charge you for. I'm Tom Baudette, and we'll leave the Wi-Fi on for you. Book online at motel6.com.
Is your home ready for the summer? Do you have ugly green and black stains on your home? Spray and Forget, the original no-rinse exterior cleaner, eliminates these ugly stains caused by mold, mildew, and algae. Spray and Forget brilliantly cleans roofs, decks, siding, fencing, walkways, driveways, outdoor furniture, and more. Remove stains up to 50% faster than competing no-rinse cleaners. Make your home and outdoor living spaces brilliant again. Look for the yellow label at participating Ace, Home Depot, True Value, and Do It Best stores.
Every home is unique. That's why I, the Orkin Man, rely on science.
Oh, thanks for coming.
Whoa, you have a problem.
Yeah, cockroaches.
Well, frogs do eat roaches. It's great that you tried to take care of it yourself, but I prefer using the latest science from our entomologists to customize a treatment for your home. It'll help get rid of the cockroaches without all the mess. Ooh, did that one just...
Yep, right into my cereal.
Orkin, pest control down to a science. Visit Orkin.com for a free estimate.
Dirty carpets don't keep a schedule. You do. That's why the Home Depot has the Hoover Power Scrub Elite Pet Plus Carpet Cleaner for just $148, over $40 off. Its quick clean mode with heat force helps cut drying time to less than 45 minutes. If you have a schedule to keep, you don't want to sit around waiting on a wet carpet. The Hoover Power Scrub Elite, just $148, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, while supplies last. See store for details, valid through July 11th.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasin now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Well, we only have a few minutes left. We're talking to Jonathan Cantor, who's partner in the antitrust group at Paul Weiss. He's extensive experience representing clients in the media and technology and advertising. He's ranked amongst the top antitrust lawyers in the country. And before the break, Jonathan, I alluded to the fact that a lot of this that we're talking about may come down to politics and partisan politics. Do you think that given the state that this country is in and the opposite perspectives and viewpoints that people have on these issues that maybe... the politicians will be handcuffed and this situation will just continue to grow and become more complex as we move forward?
Yeah, so, you know, in Washington, it's impossible to avoid partisanship these days, and so there will certainly be an element of partisanship that comes into play. I will observe that, though, partisanship is going to be a factor here as in anywhere else in this town. There seems to be, you know, a broad range of support, or at least recognition that we need more thought leadership and perhaps action in connection with big tech platforms. You know, different folks from the political spectrum come at it different ways, but you know, conservatives have spent a lot of time talking about political bias from the platforms. Some have talked about the need for antitrust enforcement. Folks left of center have talked about privacy and have talked about also the need for antitrust enforcement and perhaps more comprehensive rules and regulations. And so, you know, this is one of those issues that does span the political spectrum. It's not to say that everybody is behind taking action, but it doesn't necessarily fall along typical party lines the way other issues might.
What do you think some of the biggest lawsuits that are going to be coming out in the next year are going to be?
I think one of the big questions in Washington is, will we see kind of that big, you know, Ma Bell antitrust Standard Oil type investigation into one of the big tech companies relating to antitrust. And I think the more we learn about the information that's collected by the platforms and the impact on users, I think there's going to be probably a bit more outrage, and we may see more litigation around that. But, you know, the antitrust laws, while more well settled, still have a fair bit amount of ambiguity as they, in terms of how they would apply to new technologies. And with respect to privacy and data collection, you know, the law is not very robust. And so I think that's at least so far been a deterrent against private lawsuits.
You know, I've read that Facebook may be facing record fines, maybe in the billions of dollars on that very issue. But isn't it true, and we only have about 30 seconds, that the law is not well defined in that area, and you wouldn't expect that Facebook would be faced with those kind of fines, given that they're putting something out there, and no one promised anyone anything with respect to that kind of privacy?
These are the challenges, and these are the reasons why some people say we need clearer rules. The investigations that exist now, or whether it's Facebook or anyone else, relate to things like violation of consent decrees and the like. I will point out that Google had a consent decree of the FTC. They violated it with respect to user privacy and data collection, and the FTC. This was a few years ago, but fined it $22.5 million for violating consent decree.
Okay,
well, I'm sure Google spends more on after dinner mints than that.
Probably. Jonathan, as you can tell, we got to close. Thanks for being with us, Jonathan Cantor, and everyone for listening to Gurvey's Law this week.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gurvey & Wynn.